When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hi everyone, and welcome to this week's Ask Alice. My question this week was around exercise order and whether the order in which you do exercises matters. I think this is a really great question because I know that a lot of people not only struggle with what exercises to do, but also how to put them into a workout. What exercises should go first, what exercises should go in the middle, and what exercises should go at the end. So we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive today so that I can explain to you why exercise order does matter and which exercises should go where in your workout. So, like I just said, when it comes to strength training, the order in which you do your exercises does matter. And the reason being that the exercises that we know sort of take up most of our energy. They require the most energy to do, and they're also, they tend to be called big compound lifts, so they're using multiple joints at the same time. I'll give you some examples, one being a squat, two being a deadlift, for example. Those are the exercises that we want to try and position at the start of our session. And the reason being is because, like I said, they take up the most energy and they are the exercises that we want to make sure we're really fresh for, because we're using lots of kind of muscle groups at the same time. And we're really making sure that particularly with those exercises, we want to be getting stronger on them. And we want to be getting stronger on all of our exercises, but I tend to prioritize at the start of my session the exercise that's like most important to that session. So if that's a pull session or a hinge session, my deadlift will go at the start because it's the exercise that I need to use most of my energy for. And I want to make sure that I'm really getting stronger in that movement. So it's really important that your big compound lifts tend to sit at the start of your sessions. If you're not sure what your big compound lifts are, you could have a little look at all of the exercises that you're currently doing and look at the ones that require the most energy. So usually it's things like, for lower body, it could be, like I said, your squats. They tend to be bilateral, so both feet or both arms. So your squats, your deadlifts, your presses, your pulls. So it could be a military press, an overhead press, or pull-ups. And those are the exercises that we tend to say are most taxing when it comes to the energy that we use. And so the goal is to always try and put those at the start of our sessions. As we then move through the session, you can then start to perform more of your lower skill or supported exercises. This could also be your single leg or single arm work, so your kind of unilateral work, because those are the things that, whilst they're still going to be hard, they're requiring slightly less energy than those big compound lifts, because you're either using a single leg, a single arm, or they're isolated exercises like, single joint exercises. So those tend to be the things that we would then position towards the middle and the end of the workout, just because of that reason of where we want our energy to go. So big energy focus at the start, and then it tends to get less as we go through the session. Now, that being said, some people are different in terms of when they feel most energized. And so you might be listening to this and saying, hang on a second, Alice, I start my session and I probably feel at my peak sort of 15 minutes into the workout. And this is particularly relevant to people that train very early in the morning. I know that I can be this way if, you know, if I'm starting a session at like 6 a.m., my body's still taking a little bit of time to wake up. So what we do know is, as much as that advice is kind of how I tend to program, I do tend to advise that, for example, if you're someone that does feel like they tend to peak around that 15 minute mark as they get into their session and they start to lift and start to feel a bit more alert and awake and powerful, one of my recommendations is that you try and do something that is not particularly taxing to the muscle group that you're going to be using for your big compound lift. So I'm thinking things like core work or isolation work, something that, again, it's not going to affect your big lift, but it's going to get you moving and can be helpful in aiding that big lift, which is why I think I like things like doing, you know, some kind of a core exercise prior to doing your big compound lift, because that can really help in terms of, particularly say you do, I don't know, a banded dead bug, and that's going to then help you to breathe and brace into your deadlift. So that can be a nice way of being able to go into that exercise. Then that can be a helpful tool to have. Again, like I said, particularly if you find yourself being that person that doesn't really feel like they reach their peak energy until sort of 15 minutes into the session, or again, if you're training very early and it takes you a little while to get into that session. We know that the skill required to do those big compound lifts is high. So don't sort of feel that it has to be the first exercise. But if you are going to position something before that, make it something that's not going to affect how you're able to then perform that exercise. So for example, I wouldn't be doing like a single leg RDL right before doing a heavy deadlift, personally. I would choose something that, again, is not going to be the same sort of movement pattern or muscle group that I'm then using in my big compound lift.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Ultimately, the most important thing is identifying your heaviest and most taxing exercises and prioritizing those in your program. So again, that's going to look different for everyone. But what I would get you to do is identify within your program, what are your heaviest and most taxing exercises, and how can you start to shift them to be at the start of your sessions? So you do that first as your priority, and then you move through your sessions and kind of taper down as you move through the session and as you start to fatigue through the session as well. For example, like having a back squat at the end of a workout is an ineffective way to organize your session. It just, for me, it's like a big no-no. I would not be putting a back squat at the end of a session. I'd be putting it right at the start where I feel most energized. Another thing to consider within this kind of conversation is how many big lifts you're doing across your week of training. So if you're training sort of 3 to 4 times a week, I would suggest doing 2 or 3 max big compound lifts in each of those sessions. I mean, 2 is probably where I sit, like that's the sweet point for me. If you're doing 4 sessions a week and how I like to program, that would be 1 big compound lower lift and 1 big compound upper lift in each day. And that's the way that I like to work, because again, those 2 big compound lifts, even though they're both compound lifts, aren't going to affect each other too much, because again, one's lower, one's upper. And it means that you can kind of be really strategic about how you're implementing those across your week of training. What I would say is any more than 2 of those big compound lifts each session, you're going to start to be compromising the quality of your work, and you're going to start compromising the quality of your output, just because we know that those exercises are particularly fatiguing, more so than other exercises that I would start to then put throughout the rest of the workout. And so we need you to look at like your entire training week rather than just one session. See how many big compound lifts you're doing across that week. Be really strategic about choosing those and when they go, because not only is exercise order important, organizing your sessions to complement one another and not just thinking about the individual's training day can be really helpful. So we've kind of talked about what should go at the start. So then what does that mean in terms of what comes after that? So I tend to think of it in a nice sort of increasing rep range. So what I tend to place at the start of my sessions are my lowest rep exercises, my big compound lifts. For my big compound lifts, the ones where I'm using a lot of energy, they're particularly taxing on the body, I am going no more than 8 reps. For me anyway, this is how I program. I know that there are absolutely other instances where going higher than 8 reps is relevant. And again, it's very goal specific. So this is hugely generalized. But for most people, I wouldn't be going any more than 8 reps on a big compound lift. And that is because, again, we want to be lifting super heavy on those exercises. If you're doing 10, 12, 15 reps, that is endurance work. It's not strength work. And it just means that you're not getting the most out of that lift. I would be making sure that you are working at sort of 8 to 9 on the RPE scale on those big compound lifts. And you are prioritizing strength as the kind of most important thing with those. So 6 to 8 is my comfy place for big compound lifts. And I tend to always stick to that number for the first and potentially second, as we discussed, compound lifts. As we then move through the program, like I said, increasing reps, when we start to move into what comes next, I tend to then program single leg, single arm work, unilateral work, as it's also known. And this tends to be stuff that's going to complement the movement pattern that I'm doing in that session. So for example, if I'm doing lower pull and upper push, I might do a deadlift as my first exercise, a pull up as my second exercise. And then as I move through, I'm then going to do, so I've done an overhead, vertical pull, and I've done a deadlift. I then might do a single arm 3-point row. So that's a horizontal pull. I then might also do a single leg RDL because I might have done a kind of trap bar deadlift, for example. So slightly different way of targeting that movement pattern, but it tends to be that single leg, single arm work. And that rep range tends to then shift to sort of the 8 to 10, sometimes even 12 in that next bracket of exercises. As you then start to get to the end of your session, and bear in mind, team, I never program more than about 4 supersets per session, because I think we need to be really careful about doing too much within a session. If you are training hard and effectively, and I think that's a really important word, you should be exhausted by the end of your session. Yes, not exhausted, but you should have worked really hard during that session and have had enough energy to really attack each of those supersets really well. If you're doing 5, 6, even 7, sometimes I see people do like so many exercises per session, it's not the most efficient way to train. You're going to be fatiguing yourself. There tends to be a lot of crossover in terms of working the same muscle groups. Like, be strategic about how you're choosing those exercises. Know that a single leg squat is going to be the same, whether it's a rear foot elevator split squat, a lunge. Yes, okay, they work different things, but it's the same movement pattern. So you don't really want to be including too many of those things that do the same thing in the same session. And so I think, choose probably like 4 max supersets, maybe like some little bits of accessory work on the end. But like I said, as we tend to peter towards the end of the workout, what I would be looking to place at the end of my sessions is my more endurance work, the things that, you know, the muscle groups that you can kind of get away with going higher rep on. So whether that be accessory work like shoulders, biceps, smaller muscle groups, smaller kind of targeted exercises. And again, pushing those reps anywhere from sort of 12, 15, sometimes even more than that, so that we kind of get that that higher end of the spectrum rep range. And again, also targeting those kind of smaller muscle groups that are going to be less impacted by the rest of the session and fatigued by the rest of the session, and can also tolerate as well those higher rep ranges. So that's how I tend to program. So like I said, just to recap, you have your big compound lifts at the start, you'll have your unilateral work coming after that, and then you'll move into your more accessory work at the end of the session. And that is how I would program and how I'd recommend you guys structuring your sessions. So I really hope that's been helpful. If you have any other questions surrounding this or anything else, you know where the email is. You can find it in the show notes. You can also drop me a DM on Instagram, and I'll be back on Wednesday with a brand new episode with a brilliant guest. So I look forward to speaking to you then. Give Me Strength is an Insanity Studios production. The podcast producer is Saffron Mirza, and podcast production assistant is Abby Sandler.